Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi guys, welcome to the second of our in-depth position analysis. And this week it's Wenen and also Perso. How are you going, mate? We're going to jump straight into looking at centre wings and fullbacks today. I'm pretty excited, but we've got a lot to cover.
Yeah, good morning. First day off in bloody 23 days, so a bit excited to be doing some super couch work. And centre wings is always a lot of good pods. Should be interesting.
Definitely, and I guess it has changed a little bit over the past couple of seasons with centre wings now comprising of a lot more expensive players than previous years.
Yeah, for sure. It's good for supercoaches. There's so many options in centre wing. You could pick about 20 guys there if you had the space. It should be an interesting podcast.
Definitely. Okay, so what we're going to do today, and we do have a lot to get through, so we're not going to... I guess mull over the recent trial news or anything like that. We're just going to jump straight into centre wing and fullback analysis. So what we'll do is we'll split it between centre wing and fullback players. So although there's some dual position players there, we'll just focus on where the player is likely to line up in our sides, and then the fullback ones are either standalone fullbacks or those that we would more likely pick in the fullback position. And then just a caveat as well is that any players that are dual-positioned half or centre wing or half and fullback, we're not covering them in this podcast. We'll be looking at them in the next week or two when we step through the halves. So without further ado, mate, let's jump straight into centre wing. And at the top of the list is Jordan Rapana. So he starts the season price at $631,000. Had an average last year of 71 and a 2016 average of 65. I guess the big question is, can he repeat what he produced last year?
It's a lot of money to fork out for a centre wing, isn't it? But I'm on him at the moment. Rapana, he single-handedly ruined my season last year. I reversed him that many times. It was right before he went berserk. But not wanting to look into the Raiders' draw too much, and it looks pretty good. But early season draws can be a bit misleading. But Rapana's Rapana. He's right up there in the top three base stat players. He always seems to get the tries as well. 71 pre-average origin. During origin, he sort of bucked the trend of most guns, and he averaged 91 through that period last year. He did fall off a little bit coming home last year, but the wheels fell off the Raiders bus as well. So he only averaged 52 post-origin last year, which could be a little bit alarming, but at his price, it's a lot. He does have those little runs where you'll have 2 or 3 weeks in a row where he puts in like some sub 40, sub 30. So that's the only thing that would stop you from picking him. But he's an absolute gun. I've got no reason to see why he won't average over 60 again this year.
Yeah, so I guess a big part of how Rapana will go this year will be, how you see the Raiders actually performing. They were quite good and last year, the year before. Do you see them getting back to that, or will they struggle this year?
Yeah, there's a lot of sides sort of sitting around the ladder where they were last year that have improved a lot on paper. I'm not really sure if a Raiders going to improve at all, to be honest. I think they're in big danger of finishing bottom four. They have one or two key injuries that I think they might struggle. How that affects Rapana, I'm not totally sure, because even last year when BJ had a massive regression from the year before, Rapana still punched out the base stats and the base attacking stats. So I think he'll still be a gun. I'm pretty confident he'll average over 60. Whether he averages over 70 again, probably not. But that's the thing you got to consider. It's a lot of money to fork out for a centre wing.
Yeah, it is. And so he had average base last year of 27, attack of 15, and then power of 31. So that kind of got into that average of 71 overall. So currently he's sitting at 10% ownership, so still hovering around that pod level. And, you know, if you do start with him, you know, it is a lot of risk, but we know the reward that does come with it.
No, exactly right. The average 89.1 in the first seven rounds last year went absolutely berserk.
Yep. Okay, so let's just keep moving along, mate. The next player who definitely had a breakout year last year in his first season at the Eels is Clint Gutherson. So priced at $596,000, mate, available in both centre wing, fullback. Do you think his value is gone? I mean, he went from a 50 average in 2016 to a 67 average in 2017. He took over the goal kicking, but you know, I think he's got a bit of an injury at the moment. How do you see him placed?
He was an absolute gun last year. Didn't really matter what position they played in. It all depends how he's recovering from the injury. That's a massive negative. And with Jarrod Hayne going there as well, they're pretty stacked in the back line. So where he plays is a key. If he's playing in the centre wing, then you're probably not going to go anywhere near him. You're probably still not going to go near him coming off the ACL. It's a massive downer. But fullback last year, he averaged 69.11. At 5'8", he averaged 66.75. He had one game at centre for a 58. So he just killed it wherever he went.
Yes, and it seems like this year from the reports that he'll line up again at fullback with Hayne in the centres and then Bevan French on the wing. Is that kind of what you're hearing as well, or do you think that Gutherson could shift into the centres?
No, it looks like he'll be a fullback. That's the sort of reports you're hearing, which would make sense because he was absolutely outstanding at fullback last year. Makes this year with not many duels either in the fullback position and plenty of guns at fullback, it makes it really interesting where you can try and squeeze these fullbacks into your side.
And obviously the goal kicking there, will he continue to do that this season?
You would think so, although he did keep kicking while Moses was there, but then Moses has actually improved as a goal kicker, so it'll be interesting to see which way that goes.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big part of his rise last year, but he also did score quite a few tries as well. So he obviously had the breakout last year. In one of the, you know, one of the commandments of super coaches not to pick a player after a career season. Does that concern you at all, or do you think that that's just the type of player that he is, and he can produce that again?
Yeah, it's a pretty good commandment with a lot of guys. But Gutherson is just a footballer. He's a really good player. It doesn't really matter where you put him. He's just one of those guys. He's a really good footballer. So I'd sort of tend to stem away from that one with him.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's move on to the Dragons. So Tim Lafay last year had an unbelievable first half of the year, but really dropped away towards the end. So he starts the season at 575K, no longer dual positioned, finished the year average at a 65, which is a significant increase from the 43 average in 2016. Very good base stats there, Perso, of 30 points per game, so he doesn't have to do too much more.
No, he had an outstanding season last year. It was his first decent one since 2014, the Dogs. He's been pretty ordinary for a while. I'm not exactly sure what happened last year that he broke out. He sort of played injured there for a bit too. He was offloading at will almost at one stage. So he might fall into that category of a breakout season for me. I can't see him going quite as well as he did last year. The first 11 games last year, he averaged 73.8. Over the origin period, it was 54, and then on the run home, it was 58 again. So I think there might be a bit of a regression coming for Lafay.
Yeah, I do agree there. But the next person that we're going to talk about now, David Nofaluma, I don't believe there is such a regression with him. I mean, we're seeing averages of 60 and 64 across the past 2 years, which is a lot more consistent than that of Lafay. So you know, he smashes out the base stats as well with 31 points per game and has power, an average of, 26 points per game. So he's been in a pretty ordinary Tigers side of late, but, you know, the lack of tries hasn't really hindered his scoring output. So I'll let you take this one because you probably know a bit more about Nofaluma than most other people.
Yeah, I can't not start with him. I love Nofa. Both as a Tiger supporter and a Supercoach player, he's outstanding. He played pretty much most of last season injured as well, and was still punching out the numbers he was. Pre-Origin, he was a 69 average, over Origin, 57, and on the run home, 59.5 while he was busted. So the full off-season and looking pretty fit. His base stats are outstanding. His total base was 56 last year. It's like 31 raw base, 25 in offloads and tackle busts per game. He's just out to 8 times last season. He had over 55 base stats. Like he's starting to push up towards forwards with that sort of output. He just gets that in a rubbish Tigers side. Whether they improve a bit this year, they can't go any worse. So you'd have to think there'd be some more attacking stats might be sneaking his way.
Yeah, agree. I mean, he's only got 5.5% ownership at the moment, and that's unlikely to increase too much as we hit round one. So he's definitely an option that I'm looking at going at, and someone who I have never owned. But for all the reasons that you've just spoken to, I think that he could be a shrewd selection. James Roberts.
His pod owner. Sorry, just one quick thing. I'll jump in there. When his pod ownership will stay because the Tigers draw is hideous.
It is, mate.
It's interesting to note that his highest base output last year was 74 against Melbourne Storm in round 4, and they played a Storm twice. So against good sides, he still punches out the base.
That's a great stat, actually.
And that's a weapon.
And that was something that I did leave off the commentary just to say that, you know, the Tigers do have a very difficult start to the season, but I don't think they're really, and then you validated that by saying it doesn't really matter for Nofo. He just gets stuck in and produces the base stats. So I wouldn't let that, put you off selecting him from your round one side. The next player on the list we've got is James Roberts. So he starts at 533K. Jimmy the Jet, mate, went from 51 average in 2016 to 60 average in 2017. So he was, pretty good last year, to be honest. And the Broncos should continue to be relatively strong with the games they do play at home. So you wouldn't expect too much of a fall away from that 60 points per game average?
No, if anything, I think it'll improve, to be honest. Broncos have a pretty decent draw. Even though there's a lot of speculation around the Broncos' pack's not as strong this year, they just seem to keep being able to produce guys that do the job. One big thing to note last year, over Origin, he only averaged 47.8 over those 5 games. He's averaged 66 leading into Origin and 60 after Origin. So there's plenty of opportunity there for him. His base picked up a lot last year too compared to previous seasons.
Yeah, so what he was averaging 29 base points per game last year, which is, when we were speaking about Lafayette and Novo having cracking base averages of around about 30, then, James Roberts really does sneak under the radar there.
Yeah, for sure.
So another player that has historically had good base stats, but last year was a bit of a drop away from what he's produced previously. And I think you're a fan of this guy, mate, from listening to your past podcast. But Josh Dugan, so he's obviously made the switch to the Dragons this year. He starts at 522,000. 60 average last year. He had a 56 average the year before. How do you think he's going to go this year at a new club? Like, is he someone that you're looking at all or not really?
Nah, not really, because the bum just seems to get injured all the bloody time. He's got a knack of falling on a bindi patch and missing a couple of weeks. It's and not so much even if he backs up the next week, he just does it in mid-game. But he is a sneaky option. At centre last year, in 4 games where he wasn't injured, one of the games he was injured, he averaged 66.25, and going back a couple of years, last time he played centre, it was around about the same as well. The key at the Sharks will be how the new look back line goes, because they've had a few changes in the back line. So, but his base stats don't change. He's always got good base stats, whether he's at centre or fullback. And he actually, at fullback, he's atrocious in attack. I think he had, in the last 3 years at fullback, he's had like 6 try assists in 3 years. And last year he had 3 in 5 games at centre. So it's an interesting stat.
Yeah, it is. And I think across the past 2 years, he's paid played 17 games in each season. So, you know, he is missing a fair amount of football too. So that kind of stacks up what you're saying about a durability perspective. And I think he also loses his dual position this year, available only in the centre. So he's a player that I will be avoiding for all the reasons that you said, mate. The next player is someone else who I'll be avoiding from round one, who I've said I think will be a bust, at least early on, is Greg Inglis. So he's obviously coming back from a serious knee operation and you know, only played the one game last year. Starts at a bit of a discount. So he averaged 65 in the one game last year and starts at around about that, you know, that 60 points per game average of 220. But, you know, I think they've already announced that he's going to start in the centres. And we saw what happened with Josh Mansour last year coming back from an ACL. It generally takes him half a year to get up and get going. So I can't go near Inglis until the second half of the year.
No, I can't go anywhere near him either. I mean, there's reports around him. He's not even going to be ready for the first month. And that's a bloody long layoff from a an ACL. Like, it's, it'll be over 12 months. So. Mm-hmm. He's an absolute gun when he's fit, but you couldn't go near him. Take a very brave man to start with him.
I agree. Daniel Tupou, mates, I think we spoke about him last year as being someone we were both keen on, and then I subsequently went and bought and then also lost the stake bet over to Nick. So he's priced at $506,000, only available in centre wing, averaged 57 last year, rose from a 50-point average in 2016. Base stats are quite strong at 27 for a winger, as are his power attacking stats as well. So the inclusion of Kronk and Tedesco this year, how do you think that plays for Tupou? Do you see him taking his Supercoach output to another level?
No, I don't think it would be any worse, that's for sure. I've really liked Tupou the last couple of years. It's been interesting. Over the last 3 years, he's been a post-origin gun. He's averaged over 60 post-origin every year. He's been a bit of a slow starter until last year. He averaged 59.5 pre-origin. He's rubbish over origin when the guns are out. But again, only, he got injured last year, so only had 3 games coming home, but he averaged 78 in those 3 games. You touched on his base. His base improved a bit last year, particularly his base attack, his offloads and tackle busts. And they can't with Tedesco and Kronk, and then it won't be a bad thing. It's just going to be really interesting to see how the Roosters' attack unfolds, whether they're dominant on one side or both sides of the field. At the moment, you could pretty much load up inside with outside backs and edge forwards looking at the draw they have.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we'll speak to Latrell Mitchell a little bit later on, but, you know, it is going to be very interesting to see how they go this year. You'd expect that Roosters are one of the big improvers in the competition, and Tupou could be, you know, the benefactor of that. And he's sitting with under 2% ownership at the moment, so he is definitely a pot option.
For sure.
Michael Gordon, so he moves on to the Titans, mate. So he... he's been at 3 or 4 clubs now, so he starts the season a little bit over 500,000. But I can't be interested, mate, at all. I think he's over 30 now. I think there's too many other options to really consider him. Yes, he's available in dual, but he hasn't really done that much, you know, since he left the Panthers. Really, he averaged 49 in 2016, 57 last year. So I'm happy to go without him this year. What are your thoughts on Michael Gordon?
Yeah, he improved in the Roosters slightly. Now he's going to the Titans. You couldn't really pick him, I don't think.
No.
It won't surprise me if he goes on a little run, perhaps, if they come out playing all right, but yeah, you couldn't go near him.
And he won't kick goals for the Titans?
That'd be really interesting, actually. I think he might still kick goals, which means that'll make Ash Taylor totally irrelevant, which will be for another podcast. But Gordon's still kicking pretty well, so it'll be interesting to see who kicks. They've got a fair few options at Titans.
Yeah, that's definitely something to keep in mind. But I think there's a few other guys we've already said that we're very keen on, so we can't fit them all in. One guy that I've been an owner of before, and I think you might have been too, available in the centres and under 500K is Will Chambers. So he's coming off two relatively poor seasons, you know, from what he produced in 2015. He's got, you know, great base stats and tops the list out of any player we're going to be talking to today with base stats of 34 points per game. Ownership at just 2.6. Will Chambers, is he in your plans at all, mate? Or do you think that what he's produced in the last 2 years is, you know, just pretty much what we can expect?
He's firmly in my sights, to be honest. He always fades, especially through Origin. He's pretty ordinary, but he fades a bit late. But last three seasons, four seasons in a row, he's a pre-Origin gun. He always comes out firing, and he gets a lot of his stats through raw-based stats. Storm have got a fairly friendly draw as well this year. How they go without Cooper Cronk in their attack is another question, but I'll be pretty confident he's going to be punching out around about a 60 average leading in Origin again, even if he doesn't pick up a few more attacking stats.
Yeah, so he's looking pretty good, hey, just a little bit below 500K. But, I mean, the when you look at it, there's only, you know, probably, what, 40,000 between him and a James Roberts. Is that enough for you to select Chambers over Roberts, or do you think you just go with the more expensive option?
Yeah, it depends which way you're going with your centre wing, I suppose. I'm actually loading up on my centre wing this year at the moment, pending Seamless Tuesday, obviously, but I've gone pretty expensive. But yeah, with the Broncos, they've got a pretty decent draw too, so I like Jimmy the Jet as well, so you'd probably pick him over Chambers.
Okay. All right, so let's keep moving along. We've got a lot of players to get through, and one player that is very popular at the moment with 31% ownership is Jared Croker. So he had a horrible year last year along with the Raiders. His average went on a massive nosedive, dropping from 72 in 2016 to 55. You know, if the Raiders are going to be successful this year, then Croker is going to score a lot of points. But if they put in another year like they did last year, which you suggest could be on the cards, and you know, where are Croker's points going to come from?
Yeah, I couldn't go near Croker. I don't understand the heavy ownership of him, really. Yeah, he's only really been gun relevant for 1 year out of how many years he's been playing Supercoach. I mean, he's just scraped over 60 a couple of times. He had that one good year, not last year, the year before, where he was at a really good average. Aside from that, he's always a lot of mid-50s. He'll go on a run where he'll average like 80s for 4 or 5 weeks, and then he'll produce like a plethora of 25s and 30s sort of scores. And I've got no confidence in the Raiders at all this year either. So I think he's probably priced about where he's at. So I don't really see a massive upside with him, to be honest.
Yeah, and I mean, the Raiders finished second in 2016 too, that saw him be the leading point scorer in the NRL. And, you know, he really needs them to be strong to get anywhere near that he did. So I'm kind of with you, mate. And plus with that ownership percentage of 32, I mean, I'm happy for people just to take that and me to look at some of the other guys we've spoken about. Next guy, we don't have to spend too much time, just listed him here is because he's got an ownership that's quite high at the moment of quite low, but it, you know, if he does sit at that the fullback position for the Bunnies, he could be quite interesting, is Alex Johnston. So he'll definitely start at fullback. There's the risk that he could shift to centres or to the wing when Inglis is fit and firing and able to move back there. But a dual position player priced at 490K. With very little interest in the market at the moment. Is he someone that you're looking at all?
Nah, not really. I couldn't start with him. He's one I'm watching, that's for sure. His base stats are pretty ordinary, which is what turns me off him. But the new coach, and we'll see how their attack unfolds. He could quite well be a player that might step up this year, depending how the Bunnies go. I'm not overly confident they're going to have a great season either. So I can't start with him, but I'm definitely watching.
Yeah. Okay, so Latrell Mitchell, he's extremely popular at the moment, 21% ownership. His average went from 44 in 2016 to 54 in 2017. So progressively, it's looking like there's an opportunity for a breakout season this year. Price below 500,000. Are you one of the many owners at the moment, or do you think that you know, that the 20% of all super coaches are a little bit wrong here?
Currently not owning, but I have had him. I've swapped him in and out a couple of times. Definitely looking at him. With I'm a little bit hesitant to look too hard in the early season draws, especially with all the changes that have happened to clubs. But the Roosters seems to be pretty solid, and they've got a pretty solid outfit. So And Mitchell, it all will depend how he comes out, how his mind is. Basically, he's got the talent to be anything. So he could well and truly have a breakout season for sure.
Yeah. And we've obviously just pointed out earlier as well that, Kronk and Tedesco are coming to the side, which is just going to add to their firepower. So, you know, Mitchell and the likes of Tupou could be, you know, really benefit from that. But we won't really know until the season gets started. But, you know, it does look like he's on an upward trajectory to, you know, well and truly breaking out.
Yeah, for sure.
So another one of the new additions to the Rabbitohs this season, Dane Gagai, he's also striking some interest out there too, mate. He's owned by 13% of people, available at both centre wing and fullback, price below $480,000. He has been part of a pretty ordinary Knights side in the past two seasons. And what I guess is the key thing for him is playing in the centres, where his average is definitely a lot more favourable than when he shifts to fullback. So that's where he's going to line up for the Rabbitohs. So is he someone that you're looking at this stage?
No, not at all, to be honest, with all the other options floating around. I've got no confidence at all that the Rabbitohs will finish ahead of the Knights on the ladder this year.
Yep.
So, again, he's one of those guys that if he was in a gun side, if he was playing for the Cowboys or the Storm, he'd probably be one of the best centre wings in the competition. But he just seems to sort of languish a little bit. He's a great tackle buster and all that sort of stuff. He's a good player. You go through a period where he looks all right, but he sort of just punches out a lot of 30s and 40s.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you. With Gagai, he's not someone that I'm looking at. However, one player that I did own in his rookie year but haven't owned since is Ewan Aiken. He starts the season price at 470, and it's been extremely consistent. Started in 2016 with an average of 55, average 53 last year. Very good base points at 29 per game. The Dragons look like they could be on the rise this year, and the opening set of games for them does look quite favourable too, with games against the Titans, Knights and the Rabbitohs. So available only in the centre wing, but is are you looking at Ewan Aiken at all? He's only owned by 4% of people.
He's always in my consideration early on because of his base stats. He's a raw base beast in the centres. He's phenomenal. But it's interesting, last year he only scored 6 tries. And you did that in 3 games. You had 3 doubles, and that was it. He had a couple of injury-affected games again last year. So you take that out in 9 games last year without his injury affected, he averaged 62.67. They get James Graham and Ben Hunt this year. Aiken could be a seriously good pod early on.
That is juicy, mate. Some very, very handy stats. I wasn't aware of that. And also, I guess you got ball hog of the century, Josh Dugan, leaving the side this year too, which... should potentially maybe help you and Aiken with tries?
Certainly not going to hurt. Dugan's rubbish from fullback for helping his outside backs.
Well, maybe we should just keep him a little bit quiet there, mate, because I'll be shifting him straight into my starting side after this podcast. All right, so Josh Adokar, he's a player that I, after I've had a little bit of a dig around, he's someone that I'm slowly warming around to, mate. I was surprised to see that he had over 10% ownership, because I thought that he'd be well under that. So some other people are also interested in him too. Starts the season price of $460,000. Plays in the best side in the competition. Obviously, no Kronk there this year, but he they perform just fine on Friday night. And with Slater coming to either his last year or second last year. I'm sure that there's the potential for more runs with Slater not wanting to run the ball back as much, particularly with a crook shoulder.
Yeah, Josh Adokar could be a really good early pod. He's a type of risk and reward type player because his base stats aren't anywhere near as good as some of the other guys we've mentioned. But the Storm do play a few sides early on that have historically in the last couple of years got some pretty ordinary right edge defence. So he could be one of those guys that have an early field day. But the thing is, when you pick a guy like that, you're looking, you'll get one, you'll get 100 one week and you'll get 20 the next. That's what you're going to expect with guys like him.
Yeah. Okay, well...
Yeah, their attack, I don't think, would be a problem after watching Brodie Croft and Slater the other night and Smith. I think the Storm will still be right up there this year.
Yeah, no, I do agree. So he's definitely a player that I'm looking at, and Well, as I said, are you a bit surprised that he does have the ownership percentage at 12 at the moment? Like that seems on face value to be a bit high.
Oh, for sure, it's massive compared to some of the other guys. Like, there's must be a bit of chatter around with the Storm's early draw, I suppose.
And also, I guess with Hayne going down with a shoulder on Friday, although it doesn't seem to be that serious, I think that Vunivalu and also Josh Adakar will be doing a little bit more work from the back this season. But that will all come very soon with round one not too long to go. The next player on the list we've spoken about at the top just very briefly, but returned from an ACL injury midway through last year and didn't set the world on fire at all. Historically, he's been a super coach beast, but only produced 50 average last year and thus comes in at a nice little discount price this year of 450. Josh Mansour, he's in my side at the moment, was one of the first players that I picked, but he's very popular with 23% ownership, but I think he's definitely undervalued this year, Perso. What do you think?
Yeah, he's one of those guys sort of hard to pass out of your side. I haven't got him at the moment because I've gone a bit heavy with other guys, but it's sort of the way TLT sort of forms, so I'll likely drop one of the more pricier guys I've got and throw him in. The only concern is he's going to be left centre. If Peachy's left centre, it doesn't really help him that much attacking-wise. But I think the Panthers have a pretty good season this year, and Mansell has sort of gone on a trend. He had a gun year, then he got injured, and he had a gun year, then he got injured. So he's due for another gun year. 50.92 average, he certainly can do a lot more than that. One only negative from that is his offloads sort of dropped a fair bit last year. Whether that had anything to do with Hook as a coach or not, I'm not sure, but we'll find out this season, I suppose.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think at the price, considering what he's done in past years, can't pass up, and he'll be in my side come round one in the hope that he can regain some of his glory form from 2016. Valentine Holmes made his Origin debut last year. He's an interesting one, mate. So he's averaged 49 and 50 in the past two seasons. I mean, he's got a ton of talent, but maybe he's just not super coach relevant.
Nah, he's a super coach bum. I've got absolutely zero interest in the Love Detective of Valentine Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll improve at all this season either, even if he's kicking goals. I'm still not convinced he's a fullback or anything else. I've got no interest in him at all, even though he's a dual.
Yeah, well, I saw that Moylan was kicking for the Sharks in the trials, so that would just about rule out Valentine Holmes completely if that was the case.
No, for sure. He'd be 100% irrelevant.
Yeah. Well, someone who has been irrelevant for the past two seasons, but we know what he can do, and he is returning to his his club that he loves so much. Jarryd Hayne, back with the Eels, priced at an extremely low value of 420,000, dual positioned. He's been atrocious in the past 2 years, but before that, he was averaging up to close to 80 points per game. Can he get back to what he's done previously, or is he just a bum now forever?
Yeah, I've got absolutely no confidence in Hayne either. When you look at him historically, he had two absolutely outstanding seasons where he was just unbelievable NRL-wise and Supercoach-wise, 2019 and 2015 or whatever it was when he won the Daily M before he disappeared to NFL. You got to wonder where he's at. He's always, you never know what's going on in his head. Playing centre at the Eels too as well. I'll watch and see what he's doing, but there's no way known I could pick him first up.
No, mate. And there's already talk that he wants to go and play for Fiji in the World Cup next year as well. So I can't see that he's going to be overcommitted. Not going to pick him. And I don't really like him that much either. So happy to leave him out of my side. Over 10% ownership, and that'll be just fine with me. Got Tyrone and Peachy down here at 414K. He's not relevant at all as long as he stays at the Panthers. I mean, if he does go to the Titans, then he potentially comes interesting.
Yeah, 100%. He was sort of relevant before Hook took over, but playing centre last year, he was rubbish. So if he's still playing centre at the Panthers, he's rubbish. If he goes to the Titans, could be a totally different ball game.
No, I agree. But let's just not spend too much time on him. We can wait to see what happens. I mean, he had an average of 58 in 2016, and last year was very poor at 47 average minutes, similar across the two seasons. Sorry, he's had 74 minutes per game in 2016 and 66 minutes in 2017. So that kind of makes up for the difference. So if he's at the Panthers, you can't really pick him, but let's just see what happens. Someone that I am looking at and do have on my side at the moment, who you know was the second highest averaging player, I think, or the number one averaging center wing player in 2016, is BJ Leilua. So he had a shocker last year. Went from 72 average down to 47. And and that's why he's only owned by 6% of people at the moment. Apparently, got sent to the fat farm halfway or during the preseason as well. Mate, coming back fit and firing. Do you think he's ready for a bounce back season, or are you going to be staying away?
Nah, massive stay away. Or he just had he's one of those guys that had one massive season and that's it. He's been Supercoach bum his entire career. I can't see him improving at all.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it? They seem to go down the other edge a lot last year, and it just depends on what they do. I mean, there's talk that Caesar could play at hooker as well, so I'm sure that would have a bit of an impact too, and also Austin moving into hooker as well. So it really kind of shakes up how the outside backs for the Raiders will perform.
Yeah, if anything, Sam Williams would be a plus for the outside backs because they were the Austin and Caesar last year were horrendous.
Yeah, so, I mean, BJ, yeah, I'm toing and froing. He'll be one of my riskiest selections, but, yeah, I think I'm probably going to go with someone else, but we'll just we'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised if he does, you know, quite well. I think the Raiders do have an okay start to the season as well. Moving along, so there's two players here, and one that I do want to talk about in particular, mate, is Brent Morris. So he's priced at $338,000. He only averaged 38 points per game last year. He absolutely stunk it up. Before that, he was one of the premium centre wing options that you could have. He's not dual position this year, which is a bit of a bummer. He is dual position this year. What do you think about Morris? Is he someone that you're potentially seeing as having a bounce back, or do you think that he's past it?
No, he can't go any bloody worse, that's for sure. He's normally been like around a 50s average for most of his career. So it'll be very interesting to see how the Dogs' attack lines up this year, how it goes. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if they get back closer to a 50 sort of average player again.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a brand new spine this year, so it'd be very interesting to see how they do go. He is a risky selection, but, you know, you're not really losing much considering what he's coming in price at.
No, he's cheap as chips.
Yeah, I mean, considering that he is, almost 100K less than Tyrone Peachy, then, you know, that puts things into perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's go to the Tigers, mate. Can you just let everyone know about Chris McQueen, a new arrival this year? How many minutes is he going to play? He's obviously a dual-positioned second row forward that's available in the centres, which we love. Go for it.
He's a filthy option. In the I've looked at him a couple of times, Sol Iola from a few years back. But he's going to go one of two ways: he'll either play Artie on the right edge, or Cleary will move Taylor at the right edge, and McQueen will play sort of 55-ish at lock. So, not sure which way it'll go yet, but potentially that right edge for the Tigers could be quite interesting in attack this year, but it also depends which one.
Yeah, okay. So is he someone that you're seriously looking at, mate, or probably you're not going to have too much interest in?
Not seriously looking at him, but he won't go away.
Yeah. He's so cheap, though, isn't he? He's,
that's the thing.
You know, he's priced at $330K, so he's less than the likes of a Jordan Kahu and also Brett Morris. So that kind of puts him into, you know, perspective of where he's sitting. And if he does lock down that starting edge role for 80 minutes, then surely we need to look at him.
Well, I'd be taking him over Jordan Kahu every day of the week, that's for sure.
agreed. So he's someone that I hadn't even thought about till I started looking into that this week and saw him, and he's only got less than 5% ownership at the moment. So if he gets named in the edge, then he'll be I'll be having a closer look. Someone that does have extremely high ownership at the moment, 23, is Petr Hecku, who is at the Warriors, 280K. I think he's almost guaranteed a starting position. Where's he going to line up for the Warriors?
Yeah, not sure where he's going to line up, on the wing or the centre. But you'd imagine he'd be in the side somewhere there, which he's very underpriced. He's not going to be a great player, but he could potentially make 100K there.
Yeah, quite easily. So 2016, he averaged 47, and then a 47 average player this year is around about 420K. So that's why he's so popular. So he looks like a reasonably good cash cow for the first couple of months of the year.
Yeah, he's in that sort of same bracket as Mahi Fanua. It's those sort of guys that potentially make a little bit of coin early on.
Yeah.
Just what confidence you've got in players going to the Warriors. There sort of seems to be a bit of a progression where they go a bit worse. But Hicker's always had some pretty decent base stats, so you'd have to be confident he's going to make a bit of coin.
Yeah. Okay, so just conscious of time, we wanted to smash through this in 40 minutes. We've got one more player on the list that I just want to touch on is another Tigers player. Owned by 50% of all super coaches at the moment, Milne. So he averaged 18 last year. Why is he in so many teams?
Oh, I think word might have got around about his performances at centre, I would say. he played one game last year and scored 84, and I think it was like 54 in total base in that. The previous season before that, he had another 5 games at centre. So you include that game last year, and his average is like about 66 or something ridiculous at centre from 5 games. So he's an offloading tackle bus machine. He's another base sort of player, and potentially if he's on that right edge, this is the big if. It's a massive if whether Cleary, Pierce, Milne, and Nofo on that right edge could be a late partner from 2016. Also, defensively, it could be a nightmare. So I'm not convinced that he's going to beat Mahi Fanua to that right centre. But if he does, he's going to be in everyone's side, and I'd probably prefer to have him in the back row. That's probably my fifth or sixth back rower.
Yeah, I was actually quite surprised when I had a look at his 2016 average. I think he averaged 54 in 7 games. So didn't expect that to be that high. So He's certainly very popular, that's for sure, but we'll just see what happens on Teamless Tuesday.
Yeah. Six 80-minute games at centre, including last year, he averaged 68.17, so it's worth grabbing at 192K.
Yeah. All right, mate, let's just take a quick break now and hear from word from our sponsors, and then we'll come straight back into it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so it's fullback time, Perso. The most expensive player that we're going to talk about today, Tommy Trbojevic. So he had a huge breakout season last year, pushing his average from 65 to 76. Starts the season at 677,000, huge amount of money. Base average of 30 points per game last year. So, I can't see, I know it's a big call, but I can't see him falling too much below 70 points per game this season.
No, neither can I. That's just that price tag to start the season. He'll be an absolute weapon again this season. He was last year. He did start round one last year with a 34. I'm hoping he's going to do that again. And he might have a little bit of a slow start because I just can't fit him in. I'm going to Tedesco and Ponga as my two fullbacks. That's the one biggest problem this year is all these gun fullbacks are no longer dual positions. Otherwise, you just pick Turbo in your centre as a as your gun there. But 76 average last year, 73 pre-origin, 59 through origin, 88.88 post-origin. He went absolutely berserk. I don't see any reason why he won't do it again. He's an absolute gun.
Yeah, and there's talk as well that he could play a little bit in the halves this year, which, you know, who knows what that's going to do. It should only improve what, you know, his assists and the like. So, yeah, I'm trying to do everything I can to fit him and then James Tedesco in my as my dual fullbacks, but, you know, it is coming as a cost to the rest of my side. Tedesco, let's just skip Billy Slater and talk about Tedesco. He's shifted to the Roosters, priced at $600,000. And the guy is just an absolute jet and so consistent. 70 points per game in 2016 and 68 points per game in 2017. Moving to a much better club. And, you know, he's got Kronk and Keary to feed him the ball. I'm expecting that I reckon he could be the highest averaging fullback at the end of the season.
Oh, he could well be the highest averaging player at the end of the season. He did that pretty much in base last year. But really, he scored 5 tries and had 8 tries and still managed a 67.5 average. If he's not averaging mid-70s, I'm not really sitting here. He was as close to a must-have as there is, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. So we don't need to talk about him too much more. Billy Slater, 606,000, average of 68 last year. Really kind of pulled that out of nowhere. He hasn't historically been a Supercoach star, and he also came back from a serious injury as well. He's he's someone that I'm not interested in. I think he's obviously, particularly when you've got Trbojevic and Tedesco at the that level of you know, over 600,000 as well. I just can't possibly fit in into my side this year.
No, I'm happy to risk Billy, especially after the shoulder sort of touch again in the trial. So. I'm not going. When you only got 2 positions at fullback and no one's duels, I can't. There's only 3 guys for me really at fullback: is Tedesco, Ponga, and Turbo. Really,
agree. So we'd have to spend too much time on the next set of guys then. So Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, I'm a no. He whilst he did average 60 last year, he probably didn't reach the heights of what we had expected. He's someone that I haven't looked at too much, and he's also. Signaling that this could be his last year in the NRL as well. Is it someone that you're looking at, or are you just completely bypassing RTS?
Nah, completely bypassing. You have to go back to 2015 to see when he was relevant. Now he's like 77 or something like that, and his base was a lot higher, and that was at the Roosters. And if anything, that probably helps Tedesco more than anything with the way Robbo plays his back. So, yeah, he's a no.
Yeah, agree. So let's look at Will Hopewadai now. So he had quite a good year last year, increasing his average from 51 to 59, but looks destined to shift to the centres this season with Mbai taking over at fullback. So he's a big no from me due to that. What about you?
Yeah, big no and a big watch. He's got great base stats, Hopper. I just got no idea how the Bulldogs are going to turn out. They'll either be woeful or they could be really good on the pay. So it's a massive question mark, and I'm pretty much not going near any of them.
Yeah. So a guy that really stood out for the Dragons yesterday in the trial, Matthew Duffy, he's unfortunately priced at 490K because he played those few games last season. He's a really interesting one, isn't he? He's ownership of just 1.9%. It's a huge risk to pick him, given that he's really just coming into his first NRL season. But, you know, is he something that you're looking at from a pod perspective, or do you just think... You just don't know enough about him at the moment.
It will not surprise me at all if he has a mid-60s average this season. It depends where you think the Dragons are going to sit. I think the Dragons will be big improvers this year, so it won't surprise me at all if he's a good early-season pod, but I can't go past him with the guys we already mentioned.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is a really difficult position this year, fullback, because there are just nowhere near as many duels, so you kind of... I think your strategy is extremely valid one. Like you go for somebody like a Ponga with the thought of upgrading to a Tommy Trbojevic or a Tedesco later on, or you could start with a Dufty and go, well, I believe that Wallace, he's probably not going to be in the top two. You know, he could get that 65 average and then, you know, be an easy launching pads into those one of the absolute elites. So how about we just jump straight into Kalyn Ponga now, mate, and I'll let you rip because obviously you're pretty keen about what this prestigious talent could offer.
Oh, he's just a super talent. Even though I get having Mitchell Pearce move to the Knights only improved him. He looks like he's going to be kicking goals. So if before they signed Pearce, I wasn't as set on him. But I think he's just an absolute gun. He just finds a way to score points. You look at the games he played last year when JT wasn't there. He just fills out the stat sheet. So super coach wise, he'll make money. That's the biggest thing. He's not going to go any worse. So it sort of frees up, when you're looking at the Teddy Turbo combo, it sort of frees up 200K nearly. So you can use it elsewhere. That's the sort of angle I'm going at. And I think the Knights will go reasonably well this year.
Yeah, I guess that's the big thing, isn't it? It has been a bit of a no-no picking an outside back from the Knights over the past couple of years. So we look like we've got a good one now, and they've obviously done a lot of recruiting. So there is some genuine belief that they can improve this year.
Yeah, I'm not convinced they'll make the top eight. I think their depth might still be stretched in the spine, but they're definitely going to improve. They won't finish bottom four this year, so they'll be in most games.
Yep. And I know we've spoken about the Raiders a fair bit, but the last guy that we're going to talk about today is Jack Whiten. So he's been pretty consistent the last couple of years with a 54 and a 53 average, but nothing really that I can see that suggests he's going to break out this season, particularly, you know, with the ability of only picking two fullbacks and he's not dual positioned. He's someone that I'm not looking at all. What about you?
I've convinced myself not to look at him. I sort of look at the start last year. It's more the fact that I don't think the Raiders are going to improve. If you look at the draw and you think the Raiders are going to improve on last year, then he's a guy that you should really consider. He averaged nearly 70 over the first 6 weeks last year. He went berserk, then he punched out like 3 or 4 weeks in a row of under 30. So he's that kind of player. He's not going to, I don't think he'll have a breakout season and average 60. He'll still be around that 50 mark again, but he could just be one of those risk and reward sneaky sort of pods you might pick up early, and then you could move him on and you potentially pick up a Turbo or something if they have a quiet couple of games.
Yeah, and I mean, I hear what you're saying about how he started last year, but considering his price $50,000 more than Ponga, I mean, I personally couldn't do it.
No, it's a massive risk, but he'd be like 0.5% ownership or something. It'd be a huge pod move if it worked for you. But exactly as you said, when you look at Ponga, and you know, it's more of a risk not to pick Ponga than it is to pick Whiten.
Yeah, and I mean, even Dufty, like Dufty's got ownership of under 2%, and he's $20,000 more, but it seems ridiculous, but I can see a lot more upside in Dufty this season than Whiten, even though Whiten is the more seasoned campaigner.
No, 100%.
Yeah. And so just I think it's quite interesting what you're saying with really, because I think the big question is, do you start with two guns in fullback and then obviously have to take some shortcuts elsewhere, or do you do what you're, you know, planning to do and start with one gun and then look to upgrade later on? I mean, Tedesco, I think you just kind of need to pick on the basis that he is owned by 40%. So if you get that one wrong, you really get it wrong. Whereas Trbojevic is only owned by 17% at the moment. So that's potentially the one that you can, you know, wait and hope that his price decreases a bit.
No, exactly. I've always been a fan of two-gun fullbacks. It works well. And Teddy and Turbo, I've got no doubt, will be the best two fullbacks again this season. We're looking further ahead. They're both likely going to play Origin as well. So that you're going to use more trades having those two guys. And it just chews up so much of your salary cap. I think going Ponga, who I'm pretty confident is going to make some good money and probably hover around a 55 to 60 average, which you'd probably take as a second fullback to Teddy, who I think will get back in his 70s. I'm happy enough, I think, to risk Turbo, but he could come out and average 80 over the first 5 weeks. It's that sort of risk, but that's sort of where you're at.
Yeah, I mean, what we haven't outlined as well is that Ponga is coming in at a discount too. So his average would normally be around about a 460. So he's getting that $30,000 discount this year, which does certainly make him more attractive as well.
Yeah, and kicking goals as well, apparently, is the way. Unless Lamb makes a starting side over Watson, which is a big watch on TLT, obviously. If Lamb was to be named at six, then Ponga probably loses slightly a bit of a pool, but I'm pretty confident he'll have a pretty good season.
Yeah, I guess the other thing there, mate, we haven't spoken about, but we'll get to in our halves podcast is Connor Watson. So he's available at fullback too. So that's another cheap option that you can run with if you're looking at that one gun strategy.
Yeah, he's going to be hard to move out if he's named in the starting side too. He's another one that's just an absolute footballer. He's a good player.
Mm.
And when he gets the opportunity, it's already shown it's in Supercoach, it's relevant as well. So, but that'll be one for another podcast.
It will. And speaking about another podcast, mate, that's us done today. Thank you very much for joining once again. And thank you all for downloading and listening. So just a bit of housekeeping. We'll be putting out some more articles this week on some team previews and a few other cool things as well. And then we're ramping right up for the start of the season as well. And then hopefully we'll have another podcast next weekend where we'll jump into the halves. And then we also need to look at hookers as well. But halves will be the big talking point next weekend. And also we'll have another full round of trials to start to have a pretty good idea about the round one sides. But, mate, I've got to get going. Is there anything that you want to bring up before we say goodbye?
No, I'm pretty sure we covered a fair bit there. Probably more than we were going to in the 40-minute show, which is going to blow out, but it's all good.
Yeah, all good, mate. It always seems to happen, doesn't it? Anyway, on that note, let's say goodbye, and until next week, mate, I hope you have a lovely time.
No worries. Talk to you next week.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.